In Acts chapter 8, there is a story that Luke records about a new Christian named Simon who wanted to buy something with money. And the apostle Peter said unto him, "Thy silver perish with thee, because thou hast thought to obtain the gift of God with money." When I read this account, and we'll look at it a little bit more in just a minute, I think of the fact that there are some things that money cannot buy. And friends, that's what I want to talk with you a little bit about this morning on the Let the Bible Speak program, and I'm glad that you've joined us. Do you know that there are some things that money cannot buy? We even have a MasterCard commercial that says the same thing to that effect. There are some things that money cannot buy. For everything else, there's MasterCard. Well, you know, that's true. And I want to talk about some things that money cannot buy. In this account of Acts chapter 8, Philip had been preaching in the city of Samaria, and Simon, formerly a sorcerer or magician, he believed the gospel and was baptized into Christ. And that's what we need to do today. We need to believe and be baptized. He and the other Samaritans did that. And when the apostles heard about it from Jerusalem, they sent Peter and John to Samaria to lay their hands on these new Christians so that they might receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so they come and do that. And when Simon saw, verse 18, that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay my hands, he may receive the Holy Spirit." But Peter said unto him, "Thy silver perish with thee, because thou hast thought to obtain the gift of God with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right before God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray the Lord, if perhaps the thought of thy heart shall be forgiven thee. For I see that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity." And Simon answered and said, "Pray ye for me to the Lord, that none of these things which ye have spoken come unto me." He didn't know better. Maybe it was because of his previous life in mesmerizing people with his sorcery and magic. Maybe it was his previous life and what he had done in having power over the people, and he was able to do great things among them. And maybe he thought that this would give him that notoriety or that reputation. But whatever the case might be, the fact is he could not give Peter money for this ability to lay his hands and give the Holy Spirit to others. There are just some things that money cannot buy. In fact, this man's name is Simon, and later there was a ecclesiastical or church term called simony, from the idea of Simon, or simony, meaning the attempt to buy a church office with money. Church power, church prestige, church control, church influence, by offering people money. Simony. And it comes from this man, Simon. So, what we learn, friends, is that money is not everything. And we need to remember that in today's world. Buying and selling is a big part of our culture. Even in the crisis of this virus that we're having, people are still buying things. They're going to the grocery store and buying food and so forth. It's a big part of our culture. And for a lot of people, money is the main thing in their life. But I'm here to tell you there are some things that money cannot buy. Some let money control them and rule and run their life, even to the point of immorality and problems. And we've got to realize that money is not everything. Having a right relationship with God, that's what's important. There's nothing wrong with money. Money makes a good servant, but it's a terrible master, and many have fallen prey to that. A few examples of individuals who have been controlled by money. I think, for example, in 1 Samuel chapter 8, the sons of Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. And it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second Abijah, and they were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways, but they turned aside unto lucre and took bribes and perverted justice. So they were clearly controlled by money in a wrong kind of way. It caused them to do bad things. Look at Micah chapter 3 with me. Micah chapter 3 and verse 10. Micah 3 and verse 10. Hear this, I pray you, you heads of the house of Jacob and the rulers of the house of Israel that abhor justice and pervert all equity. They build up Zion with blood and Jerusalem with iniquity. The heads therefore judge for reward or money, and the priests thereof teach for hire money, and the prophets thereof divine for money. Yet they lean upon Jehovah and say, is not Jehovah in the midst of us? No evil shall come upon us. Therefore shall Zion for your sake be plowed as a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountain of the house as the high places of a forest. They're preaching and practicing and saying things just to get money from people. Tell people whatever they want to hear in order to get money from them. In Acts chapter 16 and verse 19, there were men who controlled a woman who had a spirit of divination. She had an unclean spirit in her. And the text says in Acts 16 and verse 16 that this spirit, this maid having a spirit of divination, who brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. They didn't care about the woman. They just cared about getting money from her. And when Paul healed her and cast out that demon, verse 19, her masters saw that the hope of their gain was gone. They laid hold on Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the rulers, and they end up throwing them in prison. We can't get our money anymore out of this woman. Felix hoped to get money from Paul in Acts chapter 24 and verse 26. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, money, the love of money, is a root of all kinds of evil. And so Paul writes in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 9, but they that are minded to be rich fall in temptation and a snare and many foolish and hurtful lusts, such as drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, which some reaching after have been led astray from the faith and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Titus chapter 1 and verse 10. Titus 1:10. For there are many unruly men, vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, men who overthrow whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. What money they can get from individuals. And so some let money control them. Others let money be the standard of their social circles. They will only be in a social circle of those who have the same kind of wealth or power or prestige. And of course, that still goes on today. They're not going to associate with those who have less money and those who aren't clothed the same way they are. And it can affect brethren. It can affect Christians. It did so in James chapter 2, if you'll turn with me there. A deplorable situation had occurred in the assembly of some Christians in the first century, and James has to deal with this. Look at what he says in James 2 and verse 1. My brethren, hold not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come into your assembly or synagogue a man with a gold ring in fine clothing, and there come also a poor man in vile clothing, and you have regard to him that weareth the fine clothing, and say, sit thou here in a good place, and you say to the poor man, stand thou there, or sit under my footstool, do you not make distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? And so they were practicing a racist type of mentality, not so much built on race, but built on economics. They were being prejudiced against those who didn't have the same kind of money or clothing that they did, and treated them poorly. And James says, you have become judges with evil thoughts. This is evil. So some let money be the standard of their social circles. But friends, money can't buy everything. And so I want us to consider this morning some things that money cannot buy. First of all, money cannot buy loyalty to God's word. We need to be loyal to what God wants us to say and not allow money to dissuade us from that. I think of Balaam in Numbers chapter 2. At least he got started off right with this attitude. And those around him wanted to curse Israel as they were passing through their land. And Balaam was speaking only the word of God. He could not curse them. He blessed them. And in Numbers chapter 22 and verse 15, and Balak sent again princes more and more honorable than they. And they came to Balaam and said to him, thus saith Balak, the son of Zippor, let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me, for I will promote thee unto a very great honor. And whatsoever thou sayest unto me, I will do. Come therefore, I will pray thee, curse me this people. And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of Jehovah my God to do less or more. I cannot be bought. I'm going to speak the word of the Lord only. I'm going to speak God's word, and offering me a high position of honor is not going to change that. Giving me money is not going to change that. And so at least at this point in the story, he has the right attitude about money. Friends, we need to stand for truth and not be bought off. Not be bought off with power and prestige and money and special favors and under-the-table transactions and behind-the-scenes transactions. We need to preach the truth and not be someone who is bought with money. Loyalty to God's word cannot be bought with money. Jude talks about those who have turned the grace of God into lasciviousness. Some televangelists, some preachers, some church leaders, they turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. They change the truth of God's word for money, for sexual favors, for power, prestige, prominence, and it's wrong. And so we need to be true to God's word and not be someone who's bought off by money. You know, God's wisdom cannot be bought with money. God's wisdom is recorded on the pages of Scripture, and there is no price that can be paid for it. There's nothing that equals it. And Job tells us that in Job chapter 28, in a great chapter. The whole chapter is about God's wisdom and how that men seek and search for things of this life. And we need to be seeking and searching for the wisdom of God's word. We need to be putting just as much effort into that as we do searching out other things. I find it interesting right now we're trying to go to Mars, and we're just many in the space industry are working feverishly to go to Mars. But they have a Bible right next to them, and they won't open that up and search there for God's wisdom. So Job talks about how that man searches for things even deep into the earth. such as gold and silver and minerals and things like that. And then in Job chapter 28 and verse 12, but where shall wisdom be found, and where is the place of understanding? Man knoweth not the price thereof, neither is it found in the land of the living. The deep saith, it is not in me, and the sea saith, it is not in me. It cannot be gotten for gold, neither shall silver be weighed for the price thereof. It cannot be valued with the gold of Ophir, with the precious onyx or the sapphire. Gold and glass cannot equal it, neither shall it be exchanged for jewels of fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or of crystal. Yea, the price of wisdom is above rubies. The topaz of Ethiopia shall not equal it, neither shall it be valued with pure gold. Later in verse 23, Job says, wisdom comes from God. And the man, verse 28, who fears the Lord, that is wisdom. Fearing God, reading God's word, putting it into practice in our lives. Neither shall it be valued with pure gold. God's wisdom cannot be bought with money. Another thing that cannot be bought with money is true happiness and contentment and peace. You know, a lot of times people today, especially in America, especially in Western nations that are wealthy, people tend to try to have happiness and contentment and peace by spending more money. So let's say that there's a problem in my marriage. Let's just spend money to try to fix it. Let's say I'm not having a good relationship with my teenage kids. Let's just buy them things and spend money to try to fix it. And we do that a lot in this nation. You hear about that a lot. And you find that the divorce rate is still high and homes are still broken. And individuals try to find happiness and contentment and peace with buying things. And so they go out and buy some alcohol. They go out and buy some drugs. They go out and buy sexual favors. They go out and gamble. All of this involves spending money, and when it's all over with, they've not found true happiness and contentment and peace, because money cannot buy those things. And it's been tried before, and we know that. In fact, in this book that we call the Bible, where God's wisdom is found, we have books in the Old Testament called the wisdom literature. We need to be reading the wisdom literature and gaining some wisdom on how to live. These books, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon, they all deal with practical wisdom in living from day to day. We need to pick up those books and read them. And in one of those books, Ecclesiastes, King Solomon, who was the wisest and one of the wealthiest, if not the wealthiest man of his day, he had a lot of money. And he spent it, and he bought things, and he built things. And at the end of the book, he says it was all vanity. It doesn't fulfill. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 1. I said in my heart, come now, I will prove thee with mirth, therefore enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity. And he goes on to talk about all the things that he bought and all the things that he built. Verse 4, I built houses and planted vineyards and gardens and parks and planted trees and pools of water. And verse 7, I bought, there's your money, I bought men servants and maid servants. I gathered me also silver and gold and treasures of kings and of provinces. I got me men singers and women singers. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. And whatsoever my eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, For my heart rejoiced because of all my labor, and this was the portion of all my labor. Then I looked on all the works of my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and a striving after wind, and there was no profit under the sun. And at the end of the book, in chapter 12, verses 13 and 14, he says, the end of the matter, the whole of man is to fear God and keep his commandments. That's what fulfills. So we do not need to chase that illusion that happiness and contentment and peace can be bought with money. It can't. Something else that cannot be bought with money is another day of life. The rich farmer found that out in Luke chapter 12 and verse 20. He's a rich farmer. He's got all kinds of money, and he's a great businessman, but he couldn't buy himself another day of life. And when it came time for his soul to be required and he had to stand before God, he was taken away. And the rich man in Luke chapter 16 and verse 22, he was a rich man, but he died. And I'm sure he would have liked to have bought another day of life, but he died and he went into torment because he was not right with God. He didn't go to torment because he was rich. He went to torment because he was rich and because he didn't make his life right with God. There were rich individuals who were right with God. Abraham and Job and Joseph of Arimathea is described as a rich man. But then there's others like the rich young ruler who allow riches to get in their way and they won't come to Jesus and obey him and give up for him and follow him. So this rich man in Luke 16, I'm sure he would have liked to have bought another day of life, but you can't do that. So one day, we're going to pass from this life, or Jesus is going to come again. We're going to stand before him in judgment. We can't pay somebody to give us another day to make our life right with God. Money cannot buy another day of life. There are some other things that money cannot buy. Money cannot buy position in the Lord's church. We already talked about simony from Simon the sorcerer in Acts chapter 8 and verse 20. Now it's done all the time. People do it all the time. But God does not approve of it. And so we can't buy off some position or power or prestige. The church is not about politicking and going around kissing babies and going around acting like we're everybody's friend. It's about service. It's about hard work. It's about commitment. But there are people in the church that are like politicians. They just throw money at everything. And we're going to buy our way into power and prestige and prominence, just like Simon the sorcerer. The Lord frowns upon that, and we know that from Peter. He said, "Thy silver perish with thee." And he was lost, and he needed to repent and pray that he would be forgiven. Another thing that money cannot buy is salvation from sin. We need to be baptized into Christ, where we contact the blood of Jesus in order to have our sins washed away. We cannot pay to have those sins forgiven. I know that because of 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, when Peter says there that we've been redeemed, that is, we've been bought out of sin. There has been a price that has been paid, but he tells us what that price is. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18, Peter writes, "Knowing that we were redeemed, not with corruptible things, with silver or gold, from your vain manner of life handed down from your fathers, but with the precious blood, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, even the blood of Christ." So we've been redeemed by the blood of Christ, not by any money that has been spent. And we contact that blood when we are buried with Christ in baptism, Romans 6, 3, 4, and 5. Buried with him in baptism and raised to walk in newness of life. Each case of conversion in the book of Acts always ends in baptism. It culminates in baptism. Not because it's a work of man, not because it's something that somebody does to earn his salvation, but it's the final step that God has given man to wash away sins. And so Ananias told Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul, Acts 22:16, arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Baptism washes away our sins. You can't spend money for that. You can't buy that. Something else that money cannot buy, and that is faithfulness to the Lord. We cannot buy faithfulness to the Lord with money. There was a church, a New Testament church, who was once right with Christ in Laodicea, but because of their material wealth, their physical money and riches, they had grown lukewarm, and they needed to repent. And in Revelation 3:17, Jesus says, because you say, I am rich and have gotten riches and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art the wretched one and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold refined by fire, that you may become rich, spiritually speaking, and white garments, that you may clothe yourself, and that the shame of thy nakedness be not made manifest, and eye salve to anoint thine eyes, that thou mayest see. As many as I love and reprove and chasten, be zealous, therefore, and repent. They had gotten lukewarm, verse 16, because they had a lot of money. But that doesn't buy a church faithfulness. And so they needed to come back and be faithful to the Lord, no matter if they had money. Faithfulness is what Jesus is looking for, not money and what kind of clothes we have, what kind of cars we drive, and what kind of homes we live in. And money tends to make people self-reliant, and we see that in our secular money hoarding and money grabbing culture today. And in Revelation 3:17, the brethren at Laodicea had the attitude, I am rich and have gotten riches and have need of nothing. They didn't need Jesus anymore. And then last of all, Judgment Day cannot be bought with money. Judgment Day sentencing cannot be bought with money. I think about Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 4. Proverbs 11 and verse 4. Riches are not going to help us in the day of wrath. And when we stand before God and we're not right, we cannot just offer Him up money. Proverbs 11, 4. Riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. Being right with God in the judgment day is what is going to deliver us, not money. So, this idea that I will pay to have it fixed, we just can't do that every time. Not this time. There are some things that money cannot buy. And I hope that this has helped us, friends, as we study this today. Not loyalty to God's word or wisdom or happiness, position in the church, salvation, faithfulness, the judgment day, money cannot buy those kinds of things. We're glad that you've joined us today on the Let the Bible Speak program. Come by and visit us at the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ, meeting at 290 Warfield Boulevard in Clarksville, Tennessee. If we can study with you, if we can help you spiritually in some way, please contact us. We would be glad to get with you. Thank you for being with us today, and I hope that you'll have a good day.